Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. On today's episode, we wanted to continue our exegesis of Ephesians chapter 4 for your edification, for the building up of the church, and for us to be confident in the faith that we believe in, and the propagation of that faith. So in Ephesians 4, Paul's letter touches on many things that are germane to our sharing of the gospel. In chapter 4, verse 11, we talked about how he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So as Paul himself talks about, he himself, referring to Jesus, gave some to be apostles, right? Him dying on a cross produced these different offices. And we talked about the apostles and what the difference between foretelling and forthtelling. And if you didn't catch the previous episode when I expounded on the different types of prophesying, please do so. So the apostles were the ones selected by Jesus himself, including Paul, who met Jesus on the Damascus Road and the scales fell from his eyes. Today, there's no biblical support for using that title except for those who saw the risen Christ. So some prophets, and we again talked about the difference between foretelling and forthtelling, F-O-R-T-H-T-E-L-L-I-N-G, versus foretelling, F-O-R-E-T-E-L-L-I-N-G. Some evangelists, he gave some evangelists. There are those who spend the majority of their time going about preaching the good news. They engage in the euangelizo, which is the preaching or teaching of the good news or the sharing of the good news. Not just euangelion, which is the noun form, the good news, but the verb form, euangelizo, which is the sharing of the good news. So Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gave us these different offices. And some pastors, right? Not everybody's called to be a pastor. A pastor is a unique office, and a pastor can also be called an elder or an overseer, as dictated in Timothy. The different criteria to be an elder or a pastor is listed in Timothy. So God gave us pastors, and thank God for the pastors. And for those pastors that listen to our show, we are in support of you. We applaud your faithfulness, and we are praying for you. It's not an easy job to be a pastor, to be an overseer, to be an elder. Not only do you have to carry your own cross, but you also have to intercede on behalf of the flock of Jesus, and you have to minister to them, and you have to pray for them, and then you have to watch out for them in terms of making sure that they're safe. And we're using the analogy of the shepherd to the sheep. And we are God's sheep. We're not the pastor's sheep. We are God's sheep. But it's the pastor's job to make sure that the children of God are protected, that the children of God are being fed sound doctrine, that the children of God are being pushed and motivated, that the children of God are being encouraged. So the pastor's job is not an easy one, but when you're called to be a pastor, God gives you the measure of grace that's needed and required to fulfill your job. The ability of the pastor to suffer long, we call it long suffering, is infused through the Holy Spirit to that pastor. The ability to be a referee and to make sure that you're keeping peace, or you're teaching the church to be peaceful. Blessed are the peacemakers. The pastor has to model that behavior. The pastor can't be the one that's causing strife, can't be the one that's causing the chaos, but the pastor has to model the Christian virtues as dictated by the scripture. So thank God for our pastors. And then he gave us teachers. Not everybody is able to break open the word of life and unpack it for people to understand. Teachers also is a privileged position when you break open God's word and for other people to see and to understand the spiritual nuggets that God has for them to learn. And another noteworthy perspective is you can be a teacher in the secular realm. You can be a teacher based on getting degrees and based on getting your teacher's license or credentials. But yet, just because you are a teacher in the natural realm doesn't necessarily mean that you've been called to teach God's people. Again, let me say it. Just because you have the ability to teach in the natural realm doesn't necessarily mean you've been called to teach to God's people. The teachers that Paul is talking about, these teachers are, number one, filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you're not a Christian, you won't be able to break open the spiritual nuggets that others may be able to follow Christ. Let me give you an example. I took a class when I was a college student, and there was a gentleman, the professor, who taught this particular class, and the title was something like The History of the Christian Church. And it was one of my electives, so I elected to take this class. I was a Christian, and I figured I will learn something from this class, and something to encourage me and something to something that I was interested in. So this individual that taught this particular class, I soon realized that he had certain knowledge about the historicity of Christianity, but his teaching was voided of the influence of the Holy Spirit. So he was just teaching this class about the early church just based on his natural reasoning and his natural ability. Whereas if it was a Christian teaching this particular class, there would have been much more of spiritual insight, much more of discernment being espoused. So there's a difference in Christian teaching from the Bible versus someone who isn't a Christian teaching from the Bible or teaching about the Bible. So teachers within the church are to be encouraged. And also teachers have an awesome responsibility to rightly divide the word of God. As a teacher, you are held responsible for teaching sound doctrine. And I'll repeat this again. The word sound in the Greek is hugēs, and it means healthy. Healthy doctrine. The teacher is responsible for teaching a healthy doctrine. Not lean on your own understanding. Not start off by saying what it means to me, but rather what is the text saying, and what's the difference between a descriptive versus prescriptive text. So it's very important that the teacher is expounding the truth not their philosophies, not their traditions, not what they've heard. Many people regurgitate things that they've picked up from inside the church, which are not necessarily biblical. So it's important that the teacher share with the students the vital nuggets of the Bible, the ability to rightly divide the word of truth. That's very important, and God holds all of us accountable. So whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're a Bible study teacher, whether you are vacation Bible school teacher, all of us have the same standard as your pastor would of teaching the Bible in a sound way, making sure that we are conveying healthy doctrines versus heretical doctrines. So God holds us responsible for what we teach about him. He holds us responsible for what others learn from us about him. So it's very important that we do our job, that we exegese correctly, that we read the Bible, study the Bible, that we pray, that we avail ourselves for the Holy Spirit to use what we've put in us so that others may be edified. So he himself, verse 11, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So now Paul has told us about the offices. Then he unpacks the functions, meaning the reason why God gave us these different offices. It wasn't for these individuals to write theological books. It wasn't for them to gain fame. God didn't give us apostles just for a title, which many people do. They take on these titles without fully understanding the functions of these titles, the biblical functions, not the contemporary functions. So these offices, the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Paul, why did God give these different offices to us? Paul answers that in verse 12. He says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So God gave us these offices, number one, for the edification of the saints, the equipping of the saints, for the building up of the saints, for the work of the ministry. We learn to go work. We don't learn to sit. We learn to go work. And God is sending us out. So when we go to Bible study, when we listen to sermons, when we listen to these theological podcasts, when we avail ourselves to the different conferences, the different workshops, all of these things are designed not for entertainment purposes, but for us to go out and do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity. Again, there goes that word again, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So the goal is for us to be unified in the faith. And it's hard to be unified in the faith when you only have some people doing the work of the ministry. And I alluded to that on the previous podcast. All of us have been called. All of us have been mandated as Christians to contribute our gifts to the church. We're doing the work of the ministry. It's not acceptable for us to get all the good teachings, get all of the good sermons, to hear all the good music, and then just leave and never contribute our gifts to the church. I'm not even talking about you giving your tithes and offering. It's more than that. We're not paying off God. We can't pay off God. So just giving tithes and offering is not enough. God is calling us to contribute our physical assets. That's your knowledge, your insights, your handiwork, the ability to be part of the ministries at your local church, the ability to plug into the global ministries, meaning ministries that take place outside of your local church. So all of us have been called to be part of the body, that we may become unified through the common belief that all of us have to be part of the body, that the body is working in a healthy format, meaning that there's no part that's lacking. There's the body, all the limbs are able to work properly. There's nothing that's atrophied. So we must be careful that we're not being lazy, that we're not being content in our faith, that we're not being spectators, watching other people do the work while we just enjoy the blessings of God. That's not a good thing. And God holds us accountable. So if you're a Christian, there's always something for you to do. Always something for you to do. And so till we all come to the unity of the faith, right, the unity of the faith based on sound doctrine and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So now that you have knowledge of Jesus, what is it that you're going to do? It used to be that bumper sticker, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, the real question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? And Christ has already given us everything we need to fulfill our function. So we strive to come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to a perfect man, meaning that Jesus has justified us. And that's the goal, right? We're made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. God doesn't see the imperfections that we have, because through the blood, he sees us as perfect. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. So here we go. That we should not be like children, right? Ignorant and uninformed. And when I say ignorant, I don't mean that in a bad way, meaning that as children, there's a lot that we don't know. And so we are constantly learning. My children are always asking me, Dad, what does this mean? Dad, what's the meaning of this? And so I have to expound to them and break open to them what those words mean and what these incidents mean. So as children, we're constantly learning from Christ. And there are things that we shouldn't, that children should know, but they are not there yet. And this is what Paul talks about when he's sick, when he talks about moving from milk to meat. As children in Christ, as students of Christ, yes, we start off on milk, but eventually you have to get on meat. If we keep growing, if we are part of the sanctification process, then eventually we're moving from milk to meat. And what happens is, if you stay on milk, if you're not able to rightly divide the word of truth, if you only depending on your Sunday school teachers and your deacons and your pastors and your elders, if you only depending on them to break open the word of life, then you're cheating yourself. God requires all of us to be capable of rightly dividing his word. And so when you're not rightly dividing the word, when you're not availing yourself to study, when you're not availing yourself to reading God's word, then what happens is the devil can subtly trick you into believing something that's false, into believing something that's unhealthy is actually healthy. And the devil is good at it, right? He's the father of lies. He is the deceptor. So we have to be careful that we stay on our toes, that we are reading, we are studying, we are praying, we're talking to God about our condition and about our state. We must resist the urge to just listen to every theologian that we see on television, that we're picking up every book in the Bible bookstore to read. And just because it's a Bible bookstore, as I throw this in parenthetically, doesn't necessarily mean that every book, that every publication inside that public that Bible bookstore has been vetted. I've been through numerous Bible bookstores, and I found books that were written by heretics. So just because you find a book in the Bible bookstore doesn't necessarily mean that it's sound. Reading unsound materials will compromise your doctrine. So we need to stay away from that. And then this passage also brings on this imagery of a boat or a ship being tossed to and fro. The boat is unsteady due to the natural elements. And so in the same way, Paul is saying Christians shouldn't be moving around tossed to and fro. One minute you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Another minute you're doubting if he's the Son of God. One minute you believe that Jesus is the only way. Another minute you believe that Jesus is just one of the ways. You're going left and right. You're being tossed to and fro. One side you believe in that Jesus has all power. Another side you're starting to believe that Jesus has limited power. On one side, we believe that God has presented himself in a triune form. In another side, you're believing that God has presented himself in a modalistic form. So we can't be tossed to and fro, or we shouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's always something new coming up, right? We hear people saying God is doing a new thing. Now, God may be doing something that you've never experienced before, or you never witnessed before. It's possible. But in terms of anything that violates the statutes or the principles of the Bible, that's not God. If anybody preaches, if anybody teaches, if anybody sings a song, and those words are not in harmony with the scriptures, then we know that it's not of God. So let's not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. And that goes along because you do have some individuals that are intentionally trying to mislead you. They might have pastor in front of their name. They may have a doctorate in front of their name. They may have apostle in front of their name. But regardless of the title that they're using before their name, what's most important is, are they preaching the truth? Are they promoting sound doctrine? Are they promoting healthy doctrine? And if they're promoting healthy doctrine, God bless them. May the Lord be with them. If they are not, Galatians, the first chapter, reminds us that God will hold them accountable. Whether it be me or an angel from heaven that preach any other gospel than that which you have received, Paul says, let them be accursed. So it's important that we stay rooted. It's important that we remain solid in the major essentials of the faith, that we don't compromise the words of God, that we stand boldly, even in this compromising society that we live in, this relative society. We must stand bold. We must stand firm. We must preach God's word. Well, our time has ended. We'll continue going through this book as we learn more about unity in the body. Again, continue to do for the truth what so many do for a lie. We do need your support, so please go on our website, srministries.org, and remember to continue standing up for Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time, and remember, Titus 1:9 says, hold firm to the trustworthy message as has been taught, so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Sound Reasoning Ministries, srministries.org.
Have you ever felt conflict between your faith and feelings? If so, you're not alone. My name's Carly Mercouillier. I'm a licensed therapist and the host of the Therapy and Theology podcast, where we explore popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. I want to invite you to join me every Thursday as we fearlessly name the complexities of our reality, grow in the awareness of who we are, and rediscover the power and purpose of our unique stories through the lens of the gospel. Subscribe today at lifeaudio.com.